Numbers chapter 11, look at verse 1. When the people complained, can you imagine that? The people complained. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. The Lord heard it. If you mark your Bible, will you underline that four-word phrase, the Lord heard it. Then turn over to chapter number 12, and I want to read a verse or two here, beginning at verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? Watch this. And the Lord heard it. And then skip to verse 4. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, come out ye three into the tabernacle congregation. And they three came out. I'm not going to read the rest of the story. But if you read the rest of the story, just as chapter 11 says that displeased the Lord, it created anger in the Lord. And Miriam, the sister of Moses, became a leper. I mean, she had that dreaded disease. And the rest of the story is God did touch her and she was healed. But she became a leper. But the emphasis is back in verse number 2 again. Look at that last phrase in that second verse of chapter 12. And it says this, and the Lord heard it. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God to speak to my heart. And God, I want to thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the singing, great singing this morning. Father, I want to praise you, Lord Jesus, for, Lord, all the blessings of the music this morning. And Miss Brenda and her sister singing so beautifully. Brother Dan, Lord, and the choir. God, what a blessing. And I thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for the congregation of singing and being able to be here. Lord, we're just blessed. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost now, help us now. Give us your anointing and power. Fill me with the Holy Ghost, our Father, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I read this little phrase, and it just really stuck my heart. And the Lord heard it. And the Lord heard it. Well, you say, well, Brother Billy, anybody knows that. Anybody knows the Lord heard and can hear. You know, hearing's a blessing. My hearing, I hear this ringing all the time, and I don't quite understand things sometimes. And it makes life really interesting. You know, you hear things that people didn't really say, and it gets funny. And then I respond, and like people say, you know, they'll say something, and I'll give a completely different answer. They think I got Alzheimer's or something. But I just really misunderstood them. My wife always I'm saying, she said, I'm going to get you a hearing aid. But I'm afraid it'd be like that fellow one time that slipped around and bought him some hearing aids, and he finally bragged to somebody. He said, I've got this brand new set of hearing aids, paid $500 for them. And the fellow said, well, great. He said, what kind are they? He said, 3 o'clock. I don't want to do that. I hate to, man, that's a lot of cricket money right there, $500. I wouldn't want to waste that on hearing aids. But you know, I think about the Lord heard it. I think about the wonder of a hearing. And the Lord heard it. You know, the Bible teaches that God's omnipresent. He's everywhere, and I understand that. But you know, he says his throne is in the third heaven. And during Vacation Bible School, Brother Brad brought some excellent messages to the young people. And then in the last night of the commencement, brought a tremendous message. And he talked about the distances of the stars and all those things. It just blows your mind. I mean, we're just a little speck. Even our whole galaxy right in here, we're just a little speck in what God. And they talk in terms of light years. That is how many years, how far light will travel in a year. And planets, the furthest star, furthest planet we know anything about that is millions of light years away. But God's on the other side of that. And when I think about the wonder of him hearing, I think about his throne millions of light years away, and he hears in this world. And he heard this. See, the wonder of it, the wonder of him hearing all of his creatures. Every creature. I won't take you, won't have time to turn to all the references, but in Psalms 150 it says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now you think about everything that hath breath. All the birds you heard this morning, over my swimming pool that's light green, I have bullfrogs. And they croak in the morning and they croak at night. But the Bible said, let everything have breath, praise the Lord. And everything that God's created glorifies Him. And He hears every creature, the wonder of it, for Him to hear all that. I've been around. Yesterday I was out in the yard and a great huge, two flocks of geese came over. And they, I don't know, must have been 25 or 30 in the two flocks. And I heard them way before they got to, when they flew over the house, man, it was noisy. But God, the wonder of God's hearing is that He hears all of His creatures. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And it would be foolish for them to praise Him if He could not hear and understand and distinguish their voices. He hears all of creation. You know, there's some strange verses in the Bible, and I won't give them all to you, but in Psalms 19, verses 1 through 3, it talks about the stars, and it says their voice goes out. Their voice goes out. I don't know what all that means, but it could be kinetic energy. It could be some sort of power that's in the stars and all of those things. But God hears the voices of the stars, the voices of all of His creation. God understands that. I don't understand what the birds are saying, the frogs, but God does. I don't know what all those sound waves traveling through space are all about, but God does. He hears every bit of that. But not only does He hear His creatures, and not only does He hear all of creation, the Bible says in the book of Romans that all of creation groans. All of creation groans, waiting for the return of our Lord. I don't understand all the groanings of the earth. I don't understand the clap of thunder. I don't understand all that. But God understands all of the groaning of His creation. And then certainly God hears me and He hears you. He hears all of His creatures. His highest created accomplishment when He fashioned man out of the dust of the earth, breathed the nostril, breath of life, created man in His own image, and He hears them. The wonder of it. We prayed back, we've been praying on Sunday night back in the back room. And I asked everybody to pray at the same time. That makes some people a little bit uncomfortable, because they don't think God can hear, or maybe they can't concentrate. I understand some of that. But you think about the millions and millions and millions of billions of people around the world that are praying at the same time, and God hears every one of them. He hears every one of them. The wonder of that. How He could do, and He hears in every language. You think about that. Every language, He understands every one of them. Always amazes me when we have a missionary to come, and for the young Filipino missionary was here last Sunday night to get up and sing and just talk. See, he's thinking in Tagalog, which is his native language, but he's speaking in English. I'm tell you, I picked up two or three words of their language, and it's difficult. But he comes over here, and he communicates in our language. He's thinking in his language, but he's communicating in our language. But God can hear all of the vocal voices of everybody around the world, no matter what language, and He hears every one of them and understands every one of them. But the Bible said this, God knows our thoughts. The Bible said that in a passage of Scripture, it says in the New Testament, and they as they reason in their own heart, God heard it. Do you know what? God knows exactly what you're thinking. He's hearing everything you're thinking now. He hears everything in your heart. The wonder of it. The great volume of noise and sound, and He hears every bit of it. And it's where He can understand every bit of it. He knows every thought. He knows every word. He hears all of our thoughts. He hears everything, every language around the world. The wonder of it. But then there's, in this passage of Scripture, there's a warning in regard to His hearing. The Bible said they complained and He heard it and was displeased. It said they murmured and He heard it and became angry. My dear friend, there's a warning in God hearing. And that is this, that He hears everything. It reminds me of my accountability to God for my speech, what I say, and even what I think. because he said in the Word of God, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, he said this, we shall give an account for every idle word. Wow. The wonder of his hearing is not only that at any particular moment, in any particular day, at any particular time, he hears everything worldwide, all the sound, all the voices, but here's another wonder, that he has total recall of everything I've ever said and everything I've ever thought, and you too. And it reminds me of my accountability for God and to God for what I say and what I think. God records all that. He's got all of it. And the warning of his hearing is this, is that I am accountable for what I say. And then the warning is this, not only accountability, but there is judgment for what I say. There is judgment in regard to that. Will you go over to the book of Matthew? I will have you turn to the book of Matthew chapter 12. I just quoted a portion of it, but I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 12 and look with me, please, at verse number 34. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. And he said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. See, the judgment in regard to what I say is based on what's on the inside of me. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. For a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Wow, there is judgment. Oh, you know, it's one thing to commit adultery. It's one thing to get drunk. It's one thing to lie, one thing to steal. But did you know that God will judge you and judge me for things I say? For things I say when it's just me and one or two other people? For things I say in church, out of church? For things I say in my automobile, for things I say and think when I'm right by myself. And you too. The judgment. There's a warning about our speech. The Lord heard it. They couldn't deny it. And because he heard it, judged them. I've got a wonderful friend. You all know him well. If I was to call him, he's pastoring a church and the church was doing great. I mean, God was a blessing. And then the next thing you know, there got to be some little yeah, yeah, yeah. And he said, when it came to his mind, and when it came out, some of the things that people were saying, he said, God spoke to his heart. And he said, the Lord heard it. And because of what was done and what was said, God began to put judgment on that group of people. Pastor left. They'd had a series of other pastors. The church that used to run about 500 is running about 30 now. The Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. Hey, that happens in churches, but it happens in people's lives because of what we say, because of what we think. He hears every kind of flirtatious comment that people make to somebody, a married man to a married woman at work, or at school, or at church. He hears all of that. And there's a warning in that regard, is that we're accountable for everything we say and everything we think, and that there's judgment because of it. It's one thing for God simply to reprove us, but it seems to me that he's very swift. Suddenly, the Bible said, when Miriam, when they began to speak up against Moses, the Bible said, suddenly the Lord came. He heard it. He heard it. Can't take it back. Can't deny it. I mean, if it ever gets back to your wife, You can try to explain it away. If it ever gets back to your husband, you can try to get, you know, get away. If it ever gets back to your boss man, if it gets back to somebody else, that's, you can try to explain it away. You can say, well, you know, you got to be, you had to been there and this, that, and the other. And I didn't really mean it like it sounded, everything. But the problem is this: God knows exactly how you meant it, and God knows exactly what you said, and God got it, a record of it, and you're accountable for it. And there'll be judgment because of it. The warning. Oh, listen. That's reality. We ought to live there, hadn't we? I'm accountable for what I say. But not only do I from this passage of scripture, I note the wonder of his hearing, and I see the warning about his hearing, but I want to talk to you now about the welcome of his hearing. The welcome of his hearing. Because you see, he not only hears when I complain, he not only hears when I murmur, but he hears me. I want you to look in two or three passages of scripture. Go back to the book of Exodus chapter 3. Genesis, the second book of the Bible. Exodus chapter 3, look at verse number 7. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Boy, there's a welcomeness to his hearing. I'm glad God knows. God said, I heard my people cry. God heard their cries. He heard their cries. Oh, listen, I say to you, it is his hearing in my regard and your regard is an intentional hearing. It's not just because he's omnipresent. It's not just because he's omni-God. It's not just because he can't help but hear. But he hears us intentionally. He's listening for us. You young mothers and dads, you got monitors, and when you put the baby in another room in the crib somewhere, you put a little monitor in there and you're listening. While the ball game can be on or something else on, and you might be doing this, that, and the other, but all you've got to hear is just a little whine, and you cut off the vacuum cleaner, and you take off, and you run to that room because you are listening. You're listening intentionally for that cry. And can I tell you, my dear friend, the Bible said his ear is open to our cry. Hey, God, listen. He listens for us intentionally, and he hears me. It's not by accident. It is on purpose that he hears my cry. He heard the cry of the children of Israel. Look a little further in your Bible, please, in Psalms number 6. Thank God for the welcomeness of his hearing. I'm glad, my dear friend, he not only hears all the bad, but thank God he hears the good and hears my need. In Psalms, notice Psalms number 6, first of all, and I'll just go through a few of these right quick. Psalms 6, and look at verse number 8. Psalms 6 and verse number 8, and I'll turn to it myself. Psalms 6 and verse number 8, notice what the Word of God says. He said this, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. Nobody else might not hear you in the middle of the night. Nobody else knows what you go through when you're by yourself and you weep at night, but he does. He heard my weeping. Look at verse number 9, and the Lord heard my supplication, and the Lord will receive my prayer. The Lord hath heard my supplication. I'm glad God hears. I'm glad he hears us when we pray. Go a little further, chapter number 10 of Psalms, and look with me, please, at verse 17. He said this, the Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Oh, I'm glad that God has intentionally heard us. God has prepared us, and God will hear us, David said. Oh, one of my favorite passages of scripture in all the Old Testament, turn to Psalms 34. I've grown to love this verse because I've experienced it so many times, and many of you could say the same thing. In Psalms 34, I call your attention and look at verse number 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Can I tell you, my dear friend, he hears the cry of his people. He hears the cry of a repentant sinner around the world, anytime, anywhere, in any language, red or yellow, black or white, makes no difference. In the deepest, darkest jungle of Asia or down in Africa or in the mountain peaks or wherever it's at, or in the bustling city, inner cities of our nation, if there is a man or woman or boy or girl who wants to turn from their sin and turn to the Savior, he hears that cry, and hallelujah for that. Thank God. Listen, you say, I don't even know him. But I'm going to tell you, here's the cry of a repentant sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He heard it and wrote in the Bible. God hears that cry. God hears it. The cry of a repentant sinner. If you call out to him, he'll save you. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. I've illustrated it for you like this many times down at our coast, all the beaches and everything else, lifeguards stationed all up and down through there, and hundreds of people on the beach and hundreds of people out in the ocean. And my dear friend, all of a sudden somebody gets caught in a riptide or somebody gets in trouble and they begin to call for help. And that trained lifeguard will jump off of that tower, run through all those people on the beach, swim past everybody in the water, and he goes to that one person. Who? The one who's in trouble. And the one who called. And can I tell you, out of the billions and billions of people in the world, out of the number of people in this auditorium, out of the vast internet audience and radio audience that's listening to me preach right now, he'll hear you if you call on him, and he will respond. He responds to the cry. He hears the cry of a repentant sinner. But can I say this to you, my dear friend? Thank God for that welcome hearing of our Lord, because he hears the cry of a broken heart. The Bible said a broken heart he will not despise. If you cry out to him in your brokenness, in your broken heart, he came to, Bible said, to bind up the brokenhearted. Your heart's breaking. I don't know why. Maybe a relationship that went bad. Maybe a loved one taken in death. I don't know why your heart's broken. But he did say this, if you call on me, I'll answer thee. He responds to the cry of the brokenhearted. He responds to the cry of the sufferer. I read to you a while ago from the New Testament where it talked about the groans of nature. But in Exodus chapter 2, verse 24, he said, the groanings of my people have come up before me. He hears that groaning. The Bible said in Romans chapter 8, Paul said, we groan within ourselves. And he hears it. Did you know, not only can he distinguish languages, but he can distinguish groanings. The Bible said we pray, we don't know how to pray like we ought to, but with groanings that cannot be uttered. I mean, just that groan of agony, that groan of sorrow, that groan of loneliness, that groan of pain. God knows that. God hears that. God understands that. The welcome, listen, you're not crying into the darkness where nobody hears. You're crying to him who said, cast all your cares on me, I care for you. The welcome of his hearing, he hears our groaning. There'll be times, I promise you, there'll be times that you won't be able to pray. You may not be able to verbalize anything. All you can do is make sounds, groanings. But can I tell you, he hears that. He said, the groans of my people come up before me. Paul said, we groan within ourselves. My dear friend, God hears that. God hears that in the nighttime. God hears that in your weakness. God hears that in your sorrow. My dear friend, he hears the cry of a suffering saint. He hears the cry of a hungry soul. You got to the place where you feel dry. You're not getting what, you know you're not where you ought to be. And you're just kind of like that prodigal son. You kind of got away from him. You're out of fellowship with him. Listen, he said, if my people which call my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I'll hear from heaven. He hears that cry of a hungry soul. You lost your joy, you lost your victory, you lost your power. He hears that, and he wants to hear that. He's listening for that. If my people will call, if they'll call. My dear friend, listen, he hears every bit of that. He hears the cry of the needy, of the hungry soul. He hears the cry of the needy servant. What do we need? What do you need? He said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Do you need power? Do you need power? You think about serving God in the hour you're living in. I don't feel inadequate. I have come to the recognition that I am inadequate. I don't have an inferiority complex anymore. I realize I am inferior. But great is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Thank God. Hey, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Thank God. As long as you think you can help him out, you're in trouble. But when you come to the place where you say, I'm nothing but he's everything, he must increase and I must decrease. My dear friend, he hears the cry of a needy servant. I need power. God, I need boldness. God, I need your touch. God, I need your wisdom. He'll hear that if you'll call on him. Oh, how does he hear us? The welcome of his hearing. He does hear us as a sovereign creator. It's one thing to talk to people who care about you, love you, but all they can do is say, I'll pray for you and just kind of be there with you. But my dear friend, when you come to him and he hears you, you're talking to the sovereign of this universe. There's no limit to his power. And he said this, with God, all things are possible. Possible. Wow. Everything's possible. God is able to do anything. And when he hears my cry, I'm not talking to somebody who can say, well, be warmed and be filled and pat me on the back and send me on my way. I'm talking about somebody who'll rain manna out of heaven. I'm talking about somebody who can stop rivers. Somebody, my dear friend, who can meet every need I've got, every need you've got. I'm talking to the great sovereign of this universe. And he hears me. He hears me. And he hears you. Oh, the welcome of that hearing. But can I say this to you, for those of you who are saved? He hears you as an affectionate father. He loves you. He loves you more than you could ever know. And when you make your petitions and you cry out to him, he hears you, my dear friend. He's an affectionate father. He loves you. The word father really means provider. Provider. His response to us is not some sort of business deal. It comes out of his heart of love. And God, the Father, our Heavenly Father, we've been born again by the grace of God. He hears you as an affectionate father. Thank God you don't go to some... I'm glad he's the sovereign of this universe. I'm glad he created everything. But when the Lord gave us the model prayer, he didn't say, you pray to the Lord God omnipotent who reigneth forever and ever and ever. He said, here's how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. My dear friend, you're approaching and it is your Father that's hearing you. Daddy's in this room. Daddy's in the media audience. When your children have a need, they have a burden. You care about them. You want to do everything you can to meet their need. He's the same way. My dear friend, he's hearing me. He's hearing me right now as my intercessor. He hears you. When you cry out to him, he is the great intercessor. He's the mediator between God and man. And the Bible said, these things I write unto you in 1 John, these things I write that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. You know what that means? It means you've got somebody that's on your side in heaven in the presence of God himself. And he hears you. He hears you. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the very presence of the Father, he hears all of my burdens. I cast all my cares on him. And he is my intercessor. He ever liveth to make intercession for me. I'm glad he hears. I'm glad he hears. I'm glad he hears all of my prayers. But I am sure glad he hears all of my praise. He hears all of my praise. Let me get you to turn your Bible to one phrase in the book of Malachi. And I'm going to be through. I'm going to quit, bro. All these fellas that think I quit 4 or 5 times, I'm quitting one time this morning. I mean it. And it's this time. Matthew chapter 3 And look with me, please, at Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Find the last book of the Old Testament, book of Malachi, and look at chapter 3 and verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Watch this. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I'm glad he hears my praise. I'm glad that when things are going bad, and when I'm not well physically, I'm glad he hears me when I said, Lord, I love you. I don't understand what's going on, but God, I love you. And the Bible said, those who think on his name, those who fear him, that means they're not afraid of him, but it means they're reverentially trust. They honor him as sovereign. They recognize him as Father, but they love him and they think on him. Did you know that every time you think about how good God is, he's writing it down in a book? Woo, thank God. I'm glad he'll remember when you just think about how good he is. And then when you speak about his name, he writes it down. And he said this, not only is there a time that you'll give an account for every idle word, but there's a day for those who love him and praise him and magnify his name and think often on his name. He said, they'll be my jewels in that day. Thank God. I'm glad he hears. I want you to know he hears you this morning. Nowhere we can go in secret, he can't hear us. No burden so heavy that he can't hear us. No night so dark that he cannot hear us. No pain so severe that he cannot hear us. No sorrow so deep that he cannot hear us. I'm glad he hears his people. Will you bow your heads in prayer? With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Can I tell you, if it were possible and I had enough wisdom to know how to do it, I'd meet every need you've got. Some of these dear ladies in here who are with us, I know you're going through a tough time. You had a husband who loved you and took care of you and took care of all the business and all those things. I want you to know this church loves you and we love you. But I want you to know that he hears you. In those nights when you're so lonely, I want you to know he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I'm glad there's a welcome hearing. He hears your heart. He hears your groanings. He hears your prayer. For our dear friends today who are so sick, you're going through a tough time. And you may not see much light at the end of the tunnel. I want you to know, my dear friend, Paul said he hears the groanings. He hears every bit of that. I didn't finish that passage of scripture, but Paul goes on and says this. I know one thing, to be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. And he said, that's a consolation to me. I might groan now, but then I'll glory when I get to the other side. This time of suffering is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall follow. Thank God for that. Our dear friend, Brother Donnie was saying, last Sunday he's hurting just as bad as he ever hurt in his life. He said, he's really bad. He said, but right in the midst of that, he said, guess who came? Guess who showed up? I wasn't sure what he's talking about to start with, but he said the Holy Ghost showed up. And he ministered to my heart and he reminded me that he suffered far more for me than I'm suffering now. I'm glad that God's a God of grace. I'm glad he hears our groanings. I'm glad he hears that cry that's indistinguishable to human ears, but he understands every bit of it. I want to just tell you this morning, he's the sovereign of this universe. He can do anything. And he's your affectionate father. And he is your eternal intercessor. He hears you. I want to invite you as Christians this morning. You may be a visitor, may be a guest. You may be in the radio audience or the internet audience. Right where you are. There's no area code. You don't have to go through a process. You just simply call out to him. He knows you, knows all about you. He's waiting for you to call to him. When you call to him, he'll hear you. He said, if you'll call on me, I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things. You say, well, Brother Billy, I'm going through a tough time. God hadn't delivered me yet. But he did say to Paul, my grace is sufficient. You may turn around one of these days, look back. You know, the greatest day of my life was not the mountaintop, but the valley. It wasn't the time when I felt so well. It was the time when I felt so sick and so lonely and so full of pain. That's the highlight of my life. Because in that dark night, he ministered grace. My dear friend, listen. If you're in the sound of my voice in the radio audience, you don't know a thing about him. You couldn't quote John 3:16, but he did say this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll hear the cry of a repentant sinner. God be merciful to me, a sinner. If you right now would turn to him, and I pray that you will, call out to him. He'll save you right now. Save you right now. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. I want to pray. We'll stay in an attitude of prayer. Brother Brad will sing a verse of song, whatever God leads him to do. And I want you to come. Christians, lead the way. Get here around the altar. Oh, listen, when God broke this little truth in my heart a week or two ago, man, I have just had such a time talking to him. And I find my mind wandering sometime, and I'll just bring it right back. And I say, oh, God, I'm glad who you are. I'm going to think about Jesus. He's got a book. He's writing it down for those who think on your name. Lord, I want to thank you for that name which is above every name. I'm not going to think about bad things. I'm not going to think about negative things. I'm going to think about the Lord. He said, I'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on me. Think about him. You pray God to give you where you can gird up the loins of your mind and you can think about him and magnify him. He's keeping a record of how much you think about him. I wonder what he wrote in his book of record this past week. How many days did you praise him? How many times did you think about him? How often did you speak about his name? He heard every bit of it. He heard your thought. He heard the intent of your heart. He heard your words. Oh, listen, I invite you to come. Heavenly Father, I pray right now the Holy Ghost of God to do in the hearts of your people what you've done for me in the last few weeks. God, I pray, God, that, Lord, you help me, our Father, to practice worshiping you. I pray, God, I shall, Lord, come and control of the faculty of my mind and gird up the loin of my mind that I might focus on you and think on you and to glorify you and to praise you. And God, I pray, God, that, Lord, you'd help us to understand you do hear the cry of every broken heart, the cry of every suffering saint, the cry of those who are lonely, those who are suffering in sorrow. God, I'm glad you hear every bit of that. And God, you're a God of compassion. And God, you'll meet that need. Now, Lord, move among your people. And God, if there's a lost man, a woman, boy, a girl here, I pray this morning, they'd come and trust Christ. My dear friends, while we remain in attitude of prayer, Christians, you lead the way, come around the altar. My dear friend, those who are lost this morning, if God the Holy Ghost spoke to you, I invite you to come trust Christ this morning. Will you receive him? If we can pray with you and help you, we'll do it. He loves you. You're a visitor or a guest. You say, I'm not a member of this church. You're welcome to come. Just do business with him if you know him. Worship him, magnify him. Thank him that he hears. Listen. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Many are coming. Will you come right now? Oh, listen. The wonder of his hearing and the warning about his hearing, but thank God for the welcome of his hearing. I'm glad that he hears his children.